In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please be seated. Yesterday, atop a hill, nestled deep within farm country of Perry County, Pennsylvania, there was a wedding. By most wedding standards, it was a rather small gathering of no more than 100 people or so, give or take a few. And the quaintness of it all was preserved by the rolling hills of farmland that stretched on for miles in every direction, and those hills eventually meeting the base of the mountains, which in turn surrounded them. A kaleidoscope of curves abounded across such a picturesque and serene landscape. Colors seemed to burst forth with every wandering of the eye, with mid to light greens and deep yellows covering meadows and pastures, while deeper greens draped themselves over the sea of trees that outlined the mountainside. And above it all was a vast blue ocean of the sky, and its waves were the soft white clouds that passed by with the slightest of ripples. If Van Gogh had beheld such a sight, he surely would have painted it. That's how perfect it was. And as I peered at the majestic vision, I felt those rolling hills calling me to come closer, and my mind wandered to places of tranquility, of what could be, and the adventurous spirit within me longed to be a part of it. I was in a place where everything caught my eye, where even my mind wanted to wander, yet none of it could eclipse the glorious sight directly in front of me, where two people, through the blessing of God, would come together to become one flesh and one love. As wonderful as everything else was around me, nothing was more beautiful and in line with the harmony between man and God than that. And in that moment, as this thought came to me, God presented me with an image of his church and its role within the world. You see, the world from afar can appear wondrous and inviting, silent and serene, full of possibility and intrigue. And so many venture out into it without first contemplating the dangers, the great unknown that lies ahead. So often they plunge into it, and many tragically never come back. Some devoured by what they encounter. Others become so deeply invested in the world that they not only lose their way, but lose themselves. Some have been wounded so terribly that they not only lose their way, but everything else that they encounter. And there are others that concede and give up. And yet, there are others who have explored the world, yes, become part of it for a time, but long to return to that humble, yet perfect, gathering atop the hill that overlooks it all. We all know what it's like to have that wandering spirit, don't we? From time to time, we know what it's like to be that lost sheep, that one out of 100 who has gone astray in search of those rolling hills, those jewels that catch our eye. And before too long, it is we who have wandered away from the fold. And each of us has our reason for doing so. And despite whatever that may be, this morning's liturgy proclaims God's mercy for those who have wandered, for those that have gone or been led astray. For our Lord came not to call the just, but sinners, and to establish the kingdom of God in sinful souls. Today, my friends, we behold the might of God's mercy. For it is time that one out of 100 to return to his care. The number 100, says St. Gregory, is a perfect number. The Creator had 100 sheep when he made the angels and men, but he lost one when through sin man forsook the pastures of life. God left the 99 in the desert when he forsook the choirs of the angelic hierarchy in heaven, and he put the sheep on his shoulder because, clothing himself in human nature, he took upon him our sins. And over that, there is great rejoicing in heaven among the angels of God. We are that sheep on his shoulder. To lose one among so many, in most cases in life, is not such a bad thing. After all, things get lost, don't they? But this is unacceptable for Christ. He settles for no less than all whom he has been given. To endure and subject himself to the onslaught of ravenous wolves that lurk in the shadows for the sake of one. He endured humiliation. He endured the nails, the piercing of thorns, the scourgings and beatings for the sake of one. For the sake of one, he died, and for the sake of one, he arose. All for the sake of one. As he lovingly declares in John chapter 18, verse 9, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Therefore, never, ever let anyone think that they have no value. Never think that you are worth so little when Christ surrendered all for you. And it is with this thought that we observe our role within salvation history. But oftentimes we overlook or overstep our purpose for Christ's plan for us. And we parade through life, chasing or pursuing the wrong things, or surrounding ourselves with the wrong people. And the tragedy of it all is that many don't realize this until the end draws near. Only in the end do we realize the mortality of the flesh and call to mind an account of what we have done or not done. And the notion of confronting death can humble even the hardest of heart. But what if? What if instead of waiting until the end of our lives to be humbled, to reach out to our Lord for help, to reach out to Him to save us, what if we started right now? God gives grace to the humble. Therefore, do not be disturbed when His hand lies heavy on you, for this is the great means of rejoicing in heaven, Christ who was humble of heart. Let us put our trust in God, in the God of all grace, whose thoughts are to all generations, and beseech Him in no way to let us be surprised by the devil, who, as St. Peter declares in his epistle, lurks about seeking whom he may devour through temptations and trials. My friends, as you tread through the pastures and mountains and meadows of life, do so with Christ in your heart and cloaked in His humility. In all that you do, be humbled under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in the time of visitation. Return to Him, for the might of His mercy has caused Him to return for you. Taste and see the might of his mercy as you come to his table and partake of his flesh. And remember that it is for you that he bleeds, and for you he has offered himself. Yes, I'll say it again. For you he died, and for you he arose. Therefore cast your cares upon him, for he hath care for you. Allow the might of his mercy to bring you back into the fold, back to that place atop the hill which overlooks the rest of the world, where everything is right, well, and good, where harmony meets reality. By the might of his mercy, back home, back to where you belong. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.